You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Arapahoe County News, read by Austin. Today we will be reading the following main articles. Homeland Security revokes temporary status for 532,000 Cubans, Venezuelans, and more. ICE detainee arrested after escaping from Aurora Immigration Detention Center. And family-owned grocer opens its doors. We will also be following up with miscellaneous articles. The Centennial. Homeland Security revokes temporary status for 532,000 Cubans, Venezuelans, and more. Quote, President Trump's actions are cruel and wrong, end quote, said Aurora Congressperson Jason Crow. Immigrants live, work, and pay taxes in our community, end quote. Written by Gisela Salomon and by the Associated Press, March 21st, 2025. There are four ads on the side of the page. The first ad, Annual Spring Craft Fair, free and open to the public, Friday, March 21st, Saturday, March 22nd, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Over 70 vendors, entertainment at noon both days. Heather Gardens Clubhouse, 2888 South Heather Gardens Way. For more information, call 303-751-1811. Heather Gardens. There is an image of a different colored flowers on the side to the image. The second ad, Centennial Muse. There are different listings of events going on today for Saturday, the 22nd. Is your dog getting enough exercise for a healthy lifestyle? Moss, Denver, Denver, Colorado. 2025 NCAA Men's Basketball Championship, second round, Ball Arena, Denver, Colorado. Stravos Halaikas, The Dreamboat Tour, Paramount, Denver, Denver, Colorado. Babe Walls Women's History Month Show, Denver, Colorado. Gutenberg, The Musical, Denver for the Center of Arts, Denver, Colorado. Badass Coffee of Hawaii Grand Opening in Denver Lodo, Denver, Colorado. The third ad, Representative Jamie Jackson, add more homeowner protections to HB 1272, hold builders accountable. Paid for by Build Our Homes Right. There's an image off to the side with an incomplete home that still needs some work done to it. Fourth ad, Mountain View Baptist Church. Repent and believe, John 3:16. Be our guest this Sunday. Sunday service, 11 a.m., Century Elementary School, 2500 South Granby Way, Aurora, Colorado. There is a painting of mountains that are blue with an orange sunset in the background. Miami. The Department of Homeland Security said Friday that it will revoke legal protections for hundreds of thousands of Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans, setting them up for potential deportation in about a month. The order applies to about 532,000 people from the four countries who came to the United States since October 2022. They arrived with financial sponsors and were given two-year permits to live and work in the U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem said they will lose their legal status on April 24th, or 30 days after the publication of the notice in the Federal Register. The new policy impacts people who are already in the U.S. and who came under the humanitarian parole program. It follows an earlier Trump administration decision to end what it called the, quote, broad abuse, end quote, of the humanitarian parole, a long-standing legal tool presidents have used to allow people from countries where there's war or political instability to enter and temporarily live in the United States. During his campaign, President Donald Trump promised to deport millions of people who are in the U.S. illegally, and as president, he has also been ending legal pathways for immigrants to come to the U.S. and to stay. DHS said parolees without a lawful basis to stay in the U.S., quote, must depart, end quote, before their parole termination date. Quote, parole is inherently temporary, and parole alone is not an underlying basis for obtaining any immigration status, end quote, DHS said. Colorado comment. Raquel Lane Arellano, Colorado Immigrant Rights Coalition, quote, "This decision is a profound betrayal. The administration invited families to come through a legal process, and now it's pulling the rug out from under them. It's proof that anti-immigrant forces aren't just targeting people who cross the border. They're going after all immigrants, including those who followed the rules, ending protections for hundreds of thousands of Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans will cause chaos and heartbreak, not just for them, but for the communities they've become a part of. Our country should keep its word and protect people fleeing violence and instability, not turn its back on them," end quote. Representative Jason Crow, Democrat, Aurora, quote, "President Trump's actions are cruel and wrong. Aurora is one of the most diverse districts in the country. Immigrants live, work, and pay taxes in our community. They are our neighbors, own small businesses, and go to school with our children. This diversity is a source of strength and vibrancy. I will continue to stand up for immigrant families and children," end quote. Before the new order, the beneficiaries of the program could stay in the U.S. until their parole expires, although the administration had stopped processing their applications for asylum, visas, and other requests that might allow them to remain longer. The administration decision has already been challenged in federal courts. A group of American citizens and immigrants sued the Trump administration for ending humanitarian parole and are seeking to reinstate the programs for the four nationalities. Lawyers and activists raised their voices to denounce the government's decision. Friday's action is, quote, "going to cause needless chaos and heartbreak for families and communities across the country," end quote, said Karen Tumlin, founder and director of Justice Action Center, one of the organizations that filed the lawsuit at the end of February. She called it, quote, "reckless, cruel, and counterproductive," end quote. The Biden administration allowed up to 30,000 people a month from the four countries to come to the United States for 2 years with eligibility to work. It persuaded Mexico to take back the same number from those countries because the U.S. could deport few, if any, to their homes. Cuba generally accepted about one deportation flight a month, while Venezuela and Nicaragua refused to take any. All three are U.S. adversaries. Haiti accepted many deportation flights, especially after a surge of migrants from the Caribbean country in the small border town of Del Rio, Texas, in 2001. But Haiti has been in constant turmoil, hampering U.S. efforts. Since late 2022, more than 500,000 people have come to the U.S. under the policy, also known as CHNV. It was a part of the Biden administration's approach to encourage people to come through new legal channels while cracking down on those who cross the border illegally. AP editor Elliot Spaggett and writer Tim Sullivan contributed to this report. There is a picture at the top of the article with the description, "Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem speaks at U.S. Coast Guard Air Station Kodiak during a tour Monday, March 17, 2025, in Kodiak, Alaska." AP photo, Alex Brandon. The picture is a woman standing at a microphone with a blue U.S. Coast Guard hat. Centennial, Metro. ICE detainee arrested after escaping from Aurora Immigration Detention Center. Joel Gonzalez, 32, was arrested after acting suspiciously 12 miles from the detention center. Written by Colleen Slevin, Associated Press, and Cassandra Ballard, Centennial staff writer, March 21st, 2025. There are four ads on the side of the page. The first ad, annual spring craft fair, free and open to the public, Friday, March 21st, Saturday, March 22nd, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Over 70 vendors, entertainment at noon both days. Heather Gardens Clubhouse, 2888 South Heather Gardens Way. For more information, call 303-751-1811. Heather Gardens. There is an image of a different colored flowers on the side to the image. The second ad, Centennial Muse. There are different listings of events going on today for Saturday, the 22nd. Is your dog getting enough exercise for a healthy lifestyle? Moss, Denver, Denver, Colorado. 2025 NCAA Men's Basketball Championship, second round, Ball Arena, Denver, Colorado. Stravos Halaikas, The Dreamboat Tour, Paramount, Denver, Denver, Colorado. Babe Walls Women's History Month Show, Denver, Colorado. Gutenberg, The Musical, Denver for the Center of Arts, Denver, Colorado. Badass Coffee of Hawaii Grand Opening in Denver Lodo, Denver, Colorado. The third ad, Representative Jamie Jackson, add more homeowner protections to HB 1272, hold builders accountable. Paid for by Build Our Homes Right. There's an image off to the side with an incomplete home that still needs some work done to it. Fourth ad, Mountain View Baptist Church. Repent and believe, John 3:16. Be our guest this Sunday. Sunday service, 11 a.m., Century Elementary School, 2500 South Granby Way, Aurora, Colorado. There is a painting of mountains that are blue with an orange sunset in the background. Aurora. One of two men who escaped from an Aurora Immigration Detention Center was arrested Friday after being found by a sheriff's deputy about 12 miles away. An Adams County Sheriff's Office deputy approached Joel Gonzalez, 32, around 4:30 a.m. because he was acting suspiciously, Sheriff's spokesperson Sergeant Adam Sherman said. When it was determined he was one of the two men who escaped Tuesday night from the detention center in Northwest Aurora, he was taken into temporary custody until a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement arrived, Sherman said. The other person who escaped on Tuesday night remained at large. They both apparently walked out of doors that opened during a power outage at the detention center at 3700 Oakland Street, which is operated by the GEO Group under a contract with ICE. ICE officials said they immediately asked local authorities for help finding the men, but Aurora Police Chief Todd Chamberlain said that they were not notified until over 4 hours after the men were gone. By that time, Chamberlain said it was too late for police to help. Gonzalez, who was from Mexico, had been held in the jail in Adams County from February 9th to February 12th in connection with local criminal charges, including second-degree motor vehicle theft, Sherman said. Court documents in the criminal case were not immediately available. He is being represented in that case by a lawyer from the Public Defender's Office, which does not comment on its cases to the media. ICE said it arrested Gonzalez on February 12th, and he was taken to its detention center pending immigration proceedings. Gonzalez has been in the United States since 2013 and violated the conditions of his admission, it said. It is not known whether Gonzalez may have a lawyer representing him in his immigration case. Chamberlain pushed back Thursday on ICE narrative that prison officials notified local police, quote, immediately, end quote, after two inmates escaped Tuesday night but wouldn't help look for the missing immigrants. Quote, this is not anything like what has been portrayed, end quote, Aurora Police Chief Todd Chamberlain said at a press conference Thursday afternoon. Police dispatch and other records reveal that it was hours after a power outage allowed two detainees to escape the North Aurora Immigration Prison that ICE officials notified dispatchers of the escape. Quote, the Aurora Police Department is ready and willing to help our federal partners, including those working at the ICE GEO facility, end quote, Aurora Police Chief Todd Chamberlain said in a statement Thursday. Quote, in order for us to effectively respond to and assist our federal partners with calls for service, we need to receive timely and accurate information. That, unfortunately, did not happen, as demonstrated by the facts of this incident, end quote. Aurora dispatch and police reports show that the power went out at the GEO ICE facility at 3130 Oakland Street at about 9:30 p.m., quote, causing the doors of at least one exit to become unlocked, end quote, police said in a statement. Aurora officer Ryan McCallan said in the report that he contacted GEO Prison Assistant Facility Administrator Mohammed Benani at about 5:30 a.m. Wednesday to get details on the escape of Gonzalez, 32, and Jose Guillen Vito Romero, 24. Both men were being held on immigration retainers. Benani told police that the facility staff started an emergency count when the power went out and discovered at 12:35 a.m. Wednesday that both inmates were missing. But ICE officials did not make their first call to Aurora Police until 2:30 a.m. Wednesday. Since the escape happened approximately 4 hours before ICE called for police, Aurora's watch commander determined the timeline of events did not meet the definition of a, quote, hot, end quote, escape response, in accordance with the memorandum of understanding between ICE and APD, according to police spokesperson Joe Moylan. By the time ICE contacted ADP, the escape was considered, quote, cold, end quote, which means the event happened more than 15 minutes prior, and police were not immediately contacted. The call was then queued for follow-up. Homeland Security officials have characterized the incident as a case of local, quote, sanctuary city, end quote, law enforcement working against efforts to detain and deport immigrants. Homeland Security Border Cesar Tom Homan has accused local media, activists, and Denver police of undermining ICE's efforts to round up immigrants during raids. Homan has blamed those entities for raids that net few arrests. Quote, on an incident like this, had we been provided urgent and timely information, as opposed to 4.5 to 5 hours old, the circumstances and the outcome might have been very, very different, end quote, Chamberlain said. McAllen responded to the GEO Corrections Detention Center at 5:13 a.m. Wednesday to take a report. Quote, the city of Aurora did not create this situation, but I want to assure our residents that an active investigation is underway to determine if these individuals have any connection with Aurora, end quote, Chamberlain said in a statement. Quote, if these two men are hiding out in our city, we will find them and return them to custody, end quote. Chamberlain noted, however, that as of about 5 p.m. Thursday, federal warrants for the arrest of the two escapees were still incomplete, nearly 17 hours after their escape. The state, meanwhile, issued a notice to law enforcement agencies to, quote, be on the lookout, end quote, for the men, but ICE did not ask for any other help, a spokesperson for Democratic Governor Jerris Polis, Ali Sullivan, said in a statement. Quote, we continue to urge ICE to be transparent with the state and the public about this incident as it develops, including whether any escapees are a danger to the public, end quote, Sullivan said. The Florida-based GEO group said the power outage may have damaged portions of the facility's security system, allowing the detainees to bypass security and scale a perimeter fence. Quote, we are working urgently to ensure that all necessary corrective actions are implemented to prevent such instances from reoccurring, end quote, a spokesperson said in a statement. There are three images with this article. The first image is a picture of the detainees on the left, Guillen Vito Romero, and on the right, Joel Jose Gonzalez Gonzalez. The second picture has the following description, file. Visitors walk out of the GEO Detention Center, April 3rd, 2020, in Aurora, Colorado. AP photo, David Zalabowski. There is a building with blue walls and three flagposts out front of it. The third picture has the following description. Todd Chamberlain at a press conference at Aurora Police Headquarters, March 20th, 2025. The image is of Todd Chamberlain standing at a podium speaking to people. There is also a video attached to the article that is a little over 32 minutes long with the title Press Conference - Chief Chamberlain ICE GEO Facility Escape. Centennial Metro. Thousands of educators rally for fair funding and against budget cuts. Quote, we are very underpaid and underfunded, quote, she said. Quote, so why are we continuing to cut? End quote. By Jason Gonzalez of Chalk Beach, Colorado, March 21st, 2025. There are four ads on the side of the page on this article. The first ad, annual spring craft fair, free and open to the public, Friday, March 21st, Saturday, March 22nd, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Over 70 vendors, entertainment at noon both days. Heather Gardens Clubhouse, 2888 South Heather Gardens Way. For more information, call 303-751-1811. Heather Gardens. There is an image of a different colored flowers on the side to the image. The second ad, Centennial Muse. There are different listings of events going on today for Saturday, the 22nd. Is your dog getting enough exercise for a healthy lifestyle? Moss Denver, Denver, Colorado. 2025 NCAA Men's Basketball Championship, second round. Ball Arena, Denver, Colorado. Stravos Halaikas, The Dreamboat Tour, Paramount, Denver, Denver, Colorado. Babe Walls Women's History Month Show, Denver, Colorado. Gutenberg, The Musical, Denver for the Center of Arts, Denver, Colorado. Badass Coffee of Hawaii Grand Opening in Denver, Lodo, Denver, Colorado. The third ad, Representative Jamie Jackson, add more homeowner protections to HB 1272, hold builders accountable. Paid for by Build Our Homes Right. There's an image off to the side with an incomplete home that still needs some work done to it. Fourth ad, Mountain View Baptist Church, repent and believe, John 3:16. Be our guest this Sunday. Sunday service, 11 a.m., Century Elementary School, 2500 South Granby Way, Aurora, Colorado. There is a painting of mountains that are blue with an orange sunset in the background. This story was originally published by Chalkbeat. Denver. Jennifer Pitts stood on the sidewalk near the Colorado Capitol steps on Thursday holding a sign that read, quote, "I'd rather be teaching," end quote, as cars drove by and honked in support. Pitts, a Thornton Elementary fifth grade teacher, said she felt it necessary to rally with thousands of other educators to call on state lawmakers to make good on their promise to fund education at levels promised last year and ensure students across the state get the education they deserve. Several school districts canceled classes for the day because of the number of teachers who called off work, including a partial Denver Public Schools closure and full cancellation of classes in Aurora Public Schools, Adams 12 five-star schools, and Boulder Valley School District. Quote, "I don't want to be here," end quote, said Pitts, whose school is part of the Adams 12. Quote, "I really would rather be teaching, but it's so important to be here for the kids. That's the only reason why any of us go into this job," end quote. Educators from across the state gathered at the rally organized by the Colorado Education Association, the state's largest teachers union, to protest lawmakers' proposals that would back out of a school funding deal made last year. The state is facing a $1.2 billion budget shortfall. Last year, state lawmakers adopted a new school funding formula that calls for an additional $500 million investment in K-12 schools over the next 6 years. Lawmakers now want to invest less next year than originally promised. For too long, teachers at the rally said the state has balanced the budget on the backs of students and educators. For almost 15 years, before lawmakers did away with what's known as the budget stabilization factor in this year's budget, lawmakers pulled constitutionally mandated funding away from the schools for other priorities. The choices lawmakers have made over the years have led to larger class sizes, less student support, and more strain on teachers, teachers said. This year's proposal would further hurt education, said Jamie Need, a Leroy Drive elementary kindergarten teacher. She said the state has created a situation where teachers must spend thousands each year to support students. She buys students snacks, clothing, books, pencils, and more. Quote, "We're very underpaid and underfunded," end quote, she said. Quote, "So why are we continuing to cut?" end quote. Governor Jared Polis' proposal would increase K-12 funding by $138 million next year. but it would also change the way the state doles out per pupil funding. Instead of funding school districts based on a four-year enrollment average, Polis wants to eliminate averaging altogether. A one-year count of students would mean the state is not paying for students who are no longer enrolled in school. It would then use that money to pay for investments in the new formula, Polis said. However, some school officials said the change would mean far less money for districts that have declining enrollment. That could lead districts to cut teachers or close schools, they said. Democratic Colorado Speaker of the House, Julie McCluskey, also has drafted a proposal to keep the four-year average next year, but phase out averaging over several years. Her proposal would also slow the phase-in of new school funding formula from 6 years to 7 years, and 18% of the required $500 million to 10% next year. In an interview Wednesday, Polis said he's open to phasing out student averaging over time, but added districts would still lose money due to declining enrollment eventually. He said a slow phase-out would only delay the inevitable and cost the state more money. Quote, I think from the state perspective, the moral ground is that we should fund students who are there versus students who have not been there in several years, end quote, he said. Horizon High School German teacher Jason Herman said it's unacceptable that lawmakers would go back on a deal made last year. Quote, it's just very frustrating when there's continual cuts and cuts and cuts, end quote, he said. Colorado Education Association President Kevin Vick said during the rally that teachers are leaving the profession because of the state's budget decisions. He called on lawmakers to figure out a long-term funding solution for schools that doesn't leave the state in a continual cycle of having to cut back on what's required or what's promised. Quote, we have to stop this pattern where every year the budget feels like the Hunger Games, pitting one part of our needs against another, end quote, Vic said to cheers from the crowd. Quote, we are not tribute, end quote. Jason Gonzalez is a reporter covering higher education in the Colorado legislature. Chalkbeat Colorado partners with Open Campus on higher education coverage. Contact Jason at jgonzalez@chalkbeat.org. Chalkbeat is a nonprofit news site covering educational change in public schools. There are three pictures associated with this article. The first picture has the following description. Colorado teachers rallied to support more funding for schools on Thursday, March 20th, 2025, in Denver, Colorado. Jason Gonzalez, Chalkbeat. The image is of a bunch of people standing in front of the Capitol building with a bunch of signs protesting. The second picture has the following description. Teachers Danielle Menapace, left, and Jennifer Pitts, center, stand on the sidewalk in front of the Colorado Capitol during a school funding rally on Thursday, March 20th, 2025, in Denver, Colorado. Pitts said she called out of work because students deserve more funding support from the state. Jason Gonzalez, Chalkbeat. The image is another picture of the Capitol with a bunch of people holding signs protesting by the road. The third picture has the following description. Colorado Education Association Vice President Liz Waddick holds up a sign at a school funding rally at the Colorado Capitol on Thursday, March 20th, 2025, in Denver, Colorado. Jason Gonzalez, Chalkbeat. The image is a bunch of people standing holding a bunch of different signs. Centennial Citizen Independent, Volume 24, Issue 16. Week of March 20th, 2025. Family-owned grocer opens its doors. Fresh Market and Community Kitchen provides ethnic, organic, and traditional food items. By Isabel Guzman. Isabel at cotln.org. Nestled in Littleton's Woodland Shopping Center, the recently opened Fresh Market and Community Kitchen provides a new grocery option in the community. The grocery store offers a diverse selection of products ranging from its organic and traditional produce to Asian spices and Middle Eastern delicacies, alongside a variety of other international items. Fresh Market and Community Kitchen officially opened its doors about a month ago and has transformed the space once occupied by a Family Dollar store. The grocery business is owned and operated by Hussein Abdullah, his family, and other employees. Quote, including part-time and full-time employees, we have 25 people who work here. Well, 27 if you count my two daughters, who are 5 and 4 years old, end quote, Abdullah said. The idea for the store was born out of necessity. After attending an event in downtown Littleton, Abdullah's wife wanted to pick up groceries on the way home. She wanted to find a nearby halal market or a store that carries foods that cater to Islamic dietary values. Discovering that the closest halal market is in Denver, Abdullah saw an opportunity. Quote, I was already looking for a space to open a project, end quote, he said. Quote, so then it just hit me, and I said, hold on, why not here? I drove around this area and saw a good population here, end quote. During the King Super strikes in February, Abdullah said his store had a soft opening. Quote, people said they were glad we are open, end quote, Abdullah said. Organic and traditional fruits and vegetables are housed at the front of the store near the registers. Walking down the aisles filled with Arabic teas, local honey jars, and African treats, a shopper would find the meat market at the back of the store, which offers fresh beef, lamb, goat, and chicken. In addition to filling the gap for access to halal food, Abdullah was motivated by the rising demand for affordable organic produce. With the support of his family and financial assistance from the Colorado Housing and Finance Authority, Abdullah's vision for selling healthy and various foods began taking shape. Abdullah said that although he's focusing on the Littleton store, he hopes to eventually open more stores around the Denver metro area, particularly in the community where he has noticed ethnic food deserts. While the main floor of the Littleton store is stocked with an eclectic mix of items, everything from Boulder Canyon chips to graffiti eggplant to Lebanese cheese, Abdullah envisions that even more developments are on the horizon. He hopes to utilize the store's basement as a community hub where English classes and resume workshops can be held. It's part of Abdullah's mission to give back to the community. Fresh Market and Community Kitchen is also a participating business in Littleton's Open Rewards program, where customers can earn rewards for shopping locally. Quote, I know there's no way I can compete with the King Supers or the Sprouts of the world, the huge companies, end quote, Abdullah said. Quote, but where I can exceed over them is a personal customer service. I'm not a franchise, I'm a locally family-owned business, end quote. The store will soon launch its bakery and deli that will serve Mediterranean, Indian, Pakistani, and Asian food selections. There are three pictures associated with this article in the paper. The first picture, Fresh Market and Community Kitchen opened in February and is located in Woodland Shopping Center in Houston. The picture is the image of the front of the store, Fresh Market Community Kitchen. The second image, a customer browses international treats at Fresh Market and Community Kitchen in Littleton on March 10th. The image is of the shopping aisles with a person standing in the background looking at items on a shelf. The third picture, Fresh Market and Community Kitchen offers traditional food items as well as halal products. There's a picture of an aisle of food on the left-hand side with refrigerators and freezers on the right-hand side. There is also an ad at the bottom of the page. 2025, Best of the Best, Colorado Community Media. Vote now, March 1st to April 15th. The Littleton Independent, Volume 136, Issue 33, week of March 20th, 2025. Graceful Cafe says goodbye at open house. Guests reflected on favorite memories, formed lines to hug owners goodbye. By Isabel Guzman, isabel@cotln.org. Guests of Littleton's Graceful Community Cafe shared a homemade cinnamon rolls, embraced each other tearfully, and reflected on their favorite memories of the cafe during a farewell event for the cafe on March 8th. Attendees wrote on neon paper squares of all different colors messages like, quote, I will always remember Graceful for, end quote. The cafe, known for its pay-for-what-you-can model and mission to foster connection and combat food insecurity, permanently closed on February 15th after serving the community for 8 years. Owners Heather and Troy Greenwood announced the closure in a Facebook post, citing the increasing challenges of recent years and the overwhelming demands of their work. Heather and Troy Greenwood spent the morning of March 8th greeting roughly 100 attendees. Eventually, the packed cafe formed lines to give farewell hugs. Since opening in 2016, Graceful Community Cafe has made a deep impact. Volunteers contributed 33,626 hours, enabling the cafe to provide 251,828 free meals. Guest donations totaled $513,458 over its lifetime, figures proudly displayed near the cash register as a testament to its community-driven mission. While the Greenwoods did not specify a reason for closing during the farewell event, the February 15th post acknowledged that sustaining the cafe had become too difficult for their family. They expressed gratitude to everyone who had been part of Graceful's journey. Quote, "Graceful was created as a community that gathers together across the table. Each of you made this community what it was," end quote. Although the cafe has closed its doors, the Graceful Foundation is partnering with the Life Center to continue providing free meals Monday through Friday from noon to 1:30 p.m. at 5804 South Datura Street. There is one image associated with the article with the following description. Guests visit Graceful Cafe in Littleton for a goodbye open house on March 8, 2025. The image is of the Graceful Cafe that is a blue or greenish building with a couple of people standing outside of it. Inglewood Car Museum will close in July. Redevelopment plans will shutter Rods and Bods Museum Movie, Cars, and More by Elizabeth Slay, eSlay at ColoradoCommunityMedia.com. An Inglewood-based museum that caters to car enthusiasts recently announced its plans to close in July due to upcoming redevelopment plans for the property where it's located. Rods and Bods Museum Movie, Cars, and More is located at 401 Inglewood Plaza. The property is owned by Kimico Development. Quote, "We're either closing or severely downsizing," end quote, said the museum's owner Zach Loffert. Quote, "Being on a 30-day lease at any time, we just can't sit idle and wait to see what happens. We kind of have to be proactive," end quote. Kimco is undergoing a proposed hotel and apartment development that was approved by the Inglewood City Council on February 18th during a meeting. Loffert said that while the museum in Inglewood will definitely be closing, he hopes to reopen Rods and Bods in Colorado in some capacity, be it downgrading to a building with less square footage or building his own location. Quote, "If a miracle building pops up or something happens where we downsize and we reopen in a smaller location," end quote, Loffert said. Quote, "All that's up for negotiation. We're working on a few different options," end quote. Rods and Bods first started in 2017. Quote, "We started renting out cars for movies, weddings, commercials, anything you could think of to rent a cool car. That's what we did," end quote, Loffert said. He said that he will go back to doing rentals full-time after the museum closes. There are over 80 cars displayed on the floor at the museum, but Loffert said that the overall collection contains over 180 cars. Quote, "I've bought vehicles from other collectors, other museums. I go out and source them and find them every week," end quote, Loffert said. Quote, "I'm looking for vehicles, whether it's cars, bikes, anything from movies, TV shows. And if we can't find it or buy it, we build it," end quote. Loffert said out of the 180 vehicles, about 48 of them are cars that were actually used in movies or television shows, and the remaining are replicas he has built himself. Loffert will put the vehicles in his collection back in storage, and they won't be on display for the public anymore. Loffert said people have loved visiting his museum, and many people have expressed disappointment since he announced its closure. Quote, "Unfortunately, it's a sign of the times," end quote, Loffert said. Quote, "You look left or right, and you see all these companies closing, and all they're doing is building more apartments or condos or townhomes or whatnot. So we're losing all the stuff to do, end quote. Laufer says he plans to host a farewell party of sorts in July. Quote, we're going to be doing a lot of giveaways, and we're going to have a lot of cars out, end quote, Laufer said. Quote, we have different cars out every day. It's going to be like a nice farewell party, end quote. For more information on the museum, visit https://rodsandbodsmuseum.com. There is one image with this article with the following description. Ecto-1 from the 1984 classic film Ghostbusters sits on the floor at the Rods and Bods Museum, Movie, Cars, and More, owned by Zach Laufer. The museum is located at 401 Inglewood Parkway and will close its doors in July. Some solar sales include misleading info, critics say. Groups hope to see state law that protects consumers, by Sharon Sullivan, Colorado Newsline. A young and persuasive salesperson came to Grand Junction resident Brandon Keene's home last summer selling residential rooftop solar systems. Keene was interested in solar, so he listened to the salesperson's spiel. Keene said the Go Bright solar salesperson told him that a Colorado grant would pay for the solar panels and the installation, and that Our World Energy, a solar company headquartered in Arizona with locations in Colorado, New Mexico, and Texas, was one of the only few companies approved to install the system. Keene signed up to the lease panels. Go Bright Solar, with locations in multiple states, is a sales-only company that solicits solar systems door-to-door, then sells the contracts to a solar installation company like Our World Energy. Go Bright Solar's website states, quote, hint, we don't work for solar companies, we work for you, end quote. After signing a contract, Keene learned from a neighbor who had his solar panels installed by a longtime local company that the solar incentives are not grants, but instead a collection of state and federal tax credits for people who owe taxes. And that's only with the purchase, not lease, of the solar. When a person leases the solar panels, the tax credit goes to the lending institution financing the project. Some utility providers offer rebates for solar as well. Keene also learned that any certified solar company could do the installation. He canceled his contract with Our World Energy. Quote, it was a brokerage group that came to our door, end quote, Keene, 38, said. Quote, we were tricked on how he presented it. I'm not sure if he understood the incentive program, end quote. Colorado Newsline attempted to reach Go Bright Solar for comment by calling both of the phone numbers listed on its website. One number reached an answering machine for Utah Online School, according to the greeting. Messages left by a reporter were not returned. A man answered a call to the second number, identifying as Cove Home and Security, a company in Draper, Utah. In recent years, there's been an uptick in Colorado and across the nation in door-to-door solar sales-only solicitors accused of predatory and misleading practices. They're solar brokers who then sell the contracts to solar installation companies, some of whom have gone out of business or moved, leaving customers stranded when a problem arises or with incomplete systems. The Office of Attorney General Phil Weiser would not confirm or otherwise comment on any potential investigations into the deceptive solar sales practices, said AG spokesperson Elliot Goldbaum. Consumer protection legislation. The Colorado Solar and Storage Association expects to support consumer protection legislation at the Colorado Legislature in the coming weeks. The Consumer Protection Bill, if it's introduced, would provide guidelines not only for sales-only companies, but also for solar installation businesses. Quote, we're tired of seeing unethical people selling solar in Colorado, end quote, said Mike Krueger, the CASA CEO and president. Quote, the bill will put up guardrails and spell out expectations for behavior of salespersons, end quote. Grand Junction resident Ted Gentilla, 68, is a disabled military veteran who had been considering solar when a person selling for Our World Energy came to his door in June 2024. Gentilla said the salesperson told him that the solar installation would be free and that his utility bills would remain the same for the next 25 years. However, Juntilla's solar system would not have been free. Instead, it would have been financed over a period of years with no upfront costs. Customers pay a monthly fee, basically trading a utility bill for a finance payment. Juntilla said he felt pressured to decide quickly because he was told that his utility provider, Grand Valley Power, would allow only a certain percentage of homes in his subdivision to install solar systems. However, when Juntilla contacted the electric cooperative, he was told that was not the case. Grand Valley Power is a member of Colorado Rural Electric Association, a nonprofit that represents and serves 21 Colorado electric co-ops. Grand Valley Power's spokesperson, Rita Sanders, said Grand Valley Power does not currently restrict, or in the past restricted, anyone from installing solar due to system capacity. However, that could change in the future if local solar generation meets or exceeds demand in the same area, which poses challenges to maintaining a safe and reliable grid, Sanders said in an email to Newsline. Juntilla also learned that Our World Energy had pulled a building permit for his property from the Mesa County Building Department without his permission. Quote, "There was no mention of doing that during the sales pitch," end quote, Juntilla said. Quote, "I didn't sign anything. It really irritated me. It seems unscrupulous not to notify me," end quote. Attempts to reach Our World Energy by phone and email were unsuccessful. A third-party agent answered the phone and told a reporter that someone from the company would call back. San Isabel Electric is a CREA member based in Pueblo West, serving customers in southern Colorado. San Isabel spokesperson Paris Daughtry said San Isabel receives a lot of calls from its members asking if the co-op is associated with a particular door-to-door salesperson. Quote, "Sometimes the sales associates say they are San Isabel Electric and want to inspect the meter," end quote, Daughtry said. Quote, "It's frustrating to us. We do not do door-to-door meter inspections," end quote. San Isabel Electric told Ion Solar, headquartered in Provo, Utah, that it was misrepresenting itself by saying it was with the electric co-op and that it was impersonating the co-op, which is a crime. She said that after San Isabel contacted local media, Ion Solar stopped the practice. However, other companies in the San Isabel area continue to mislead residents, Daughtry said. She said it's difficult to confront the sales associates because they do not wear clothing identifying who they work for, and they drive vehicles without a business logo, and they do not give out business cards. Quote, "It's difficult to figure out what company they're working for," end quote, she said. It's not just sales-only companies that are engaging in misleading sales practices. They are also fly-by-night installers who do not finish installations they were hired to do, Daughtry said. Quote, "There's a tremendous opportunity for solar in southern Colorado. In our area, there are a wide range of installers and sales companies that do great work. The unethical companies are ruining it for reputable businesses," end quote. Scams increasing. Both the declining cost of solar and availability of incentives offered by the federal government, whose goal during the Biden administration was to transition to a 100% carbon-free electric grid by 2035, has led to an increase in solar sales in recent years. Solar accounted for 40% of all new electric generating capacity in 2019 in the country. Quote, "Solar scams usually happen door-to-door and ramp up when there are incentives like there are currently," end quote, said Mark Federhoff, program manager for AARP Elder Watch. A consumer watchdog group that has partnered with the Colorado Attorney General's office for 20 years. Quote, "It's an opportunity for misinformation. People take advantage of it," end quote. Federhoff said both solar and home alarm companies are commonly tied to door-to-door sales scams occurring nationwide. In November 2023, a Time magazine report described how door-to-door sales associates across the country often tell consumers they can get free panels from the government, which is not true. Consumers are told that there are tax credits, though the credits are only for those who owe taxes, and they're told they can eliminate their energy bill, which is not likely unless they invest in a battery at a significant extra cost. In most cases, people with solar will still have a small utility bill that allows their system to be hooked up to the grid. AARP published an article in September on how to avoid solar scams and lists of websites, brokercheck.finra.org, where consumers can check to learn if a solar broker is licensed. Go Bright Solar is not listed as a licensed broker. A bro sales model. Atlasta Solar Center in Grand Junction and Empowered Energy Systems in Hotchkiss are employee-owned solar companies on the Western Slope. Representatives at both companies say they have noted a huge increase in door-to-door sales associates using aggressive and misleading practices. The associates are often young, 18 to early 30s, and friendly, clean-cut, religious, and from Utah, said Lou Valaire, one of the owners of Atlasta Solar Center, a company in business for 45 years. It's a, quote, bro model, end quote, a get-rich-quick scheme that has taken hold throughout the United States, Valaire said. The associates have a, quote, red line, end quote, and a minimum amount they must sell the job for, and any money above that, they get to pocket. Thus, they're incentivized to sell the product for as high as they can, he said. Quote, once they sell the contract, they're done, end quote, Valaire said, adding that contracts are often sold to installers headquartered out of state, some of which gone bankrupt and later reemerged as a new solar business. Atlasta receives calls every week from people seeking help with getting their solar installation completed, but they're unable to reach the original installer because the company is no longer in business or has left town, Valaire said. Quote, I've been in the business 20 years and I've never seen anything like this year, these tactics, end quote, Valaire said. Quote, we've always seen plenty of companies come and go, but this level of deception I've never seen, end quote. Additionally, Valaire noted dozens of cases where consumers were sold solar installations for $5,000 to $10,000 more than what locally owned solar companies would charge for the same system. Crawford rancher and farmer Terry Backer said he canceled a deal he made last fall with an out-of-town door-to-door solar sales associate after he learned that he was being charged $10,000 more than what Empowered Energy Systems would have charged. Baker, 63, had signed up in part because he was told that without solar, his utility bills could triple in the next few years. Baker was charged a $1,500 cancellation fee. Quote, we thought we had plenty of time to back out, Baker said. Quote, I paid it. I wanted out of the whole thing. I wanted away from it. I'm partly to blame. He was just a young guy in his 20s. He raced over a lot, end quote. Daniel Kerr, a co-owner at Empowered Energy, said homeowners have to be lured into signing contracts only to learn later that they need an electrical upgrade to install the solar and that the cost will be significantly higher. Empowered Energy has also heard from community members that they were told they'd receive tax credits for solar and for replacing their roof. However, federal tax credits only apply to the solar, not roof replacements. Quote, we've been approached by these sales companies, but refuse to work with them, end quote, Carr said. Quote, their price is inflated. It saddens us that this is happening because solar is a good thing, and these practices give the industry a bad reputation, end quote. Teddy Agutter of Atlasta Solar said homeowners are sometimes misled about what they are signing. Signatures are often collected on iPads without any hard copies given to customers, he said. The sales-only business model is not necessarily a problem itself, said Kruger, the Colorado Solar and Storage Association CEO. Not all business owners are comfortable selling, so they might want to hire someone to do it for them. Valaire said he considered hiring an outside sales company to sell for Atlasta and was negotiating with someone until he learned what the sales associate would charge customers. Quote, what stopped me was one of the owners told me that the only way they do it is if they could put one-third of the price in their pocket, end quote, Valaire said. Quote, for perspective, most sales types of jobs garner a commission of 3-6%, not 33%. They are motivated to go above the red line for the highest price they can, end quote. Kruger said, quote, people get into trouble when sales companies make tons of promises, then sell the contract to an installer. Promises like, you'll never get a utility bill again, or it will pay for itself in 2 years. They're not being honest or truthful. They'll say whatever it takes to get a customer's money. End quote. Quote, one thing is uniform. It's all designed for a quick sale and a quick buck. End quote. This story is from Colorado Newsline, used by permission. For more, and to support the news organization, visit coloradonewsline.com. There is one image associated with the article with the following description. Grand Junction resident Ted Juntilla said he felt pressured to buy a solar system for his home by a sales associate who provided incorrect information. Photo by Sharon Sullivan for Colorado Newsline. The image is of Grand Junction resident Ted Juntilla standing in front of his home in a black sweatshirt. Thank you for joining us for Arapahoe County News, read by Austin.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.